Sai Ram, dear listeners, with Pranam Stishwami, I welcome you to this week's episode of Radio Sai Answering Booth. This is Prem, your friend from Team Radio Sai and host for this two-episode-old program, a program where the questions are going to be yours and the answers I will only be delivering, but we all know the source is always Swami and Swami alone. Before we start this week's question, I thought I'd share with all of you one of my favorite quotes. Well, it's a Sufi saying, and I believe, and it goes thus. He who cannot find a temple in his heart will not find his heart in a temple. Isn't that a beautiful quote? We often think that we go to a temple in search of the Lord, but the Lord is always in our hearts, and the search for God should only be directed towards your heart. So going to a temple is only to aid us to go within. And the more we start finding that temple in our hearts, the more and more we will benefit from being in a temple. Can we be conscious of this every time we visit a temple? Well, that we are going there only to find the temple within. As Saint Kabir beautifully sings in a song, Moko kahan dhoond hire bande, me to tere paas mein. And Rabindranath Tagore translated so beautifully, he says, O servant, where dost thou seek me? Lo, I am beside thee. And Kabir concludes the song by saying, If thou art a true seeker, thou shalt at once see me. Thou shalt meet me in a moment of time. So, dear listeners, with those few words, shall we go into this week's question? We've got two interesting questions lined up. So, welcome. Let's dive deep into this program, Radio Sai Answering Booth. The next question, dear listeners, is from closer home. It's from a listener in Bangalore. The person who sent us the question is Mr. Rajesh Mohanan. So first, let's listen to his question, and I'm sure it's an interesting one. We'll see what answer we can come up with for Mr. Rajesh's question.
Sai Ram, thanks for the initiative. Hope this takes form and will be a regular feature in Radio Sai. Was wondering where and to whom to ask for an answer for a particular topic, and hope I can get some guidance from you. My name is Rajesh and I am sending this message from Bangalore. I have twin boys aged 4, and from the time they were about 4 to 5 months we are visiting Parthi very often, and this is the only place that they recognize other than my home in Bangalore and my native in Kerala. Question or concern that I have is, my children have never seen Swami in his physical form. They were born in December 2011. They have seen lots of photos and videos of him. They are told they are going to pray or see Swami, and what they see is the Sai Sannidhi. And one particular incident I want to mention where we were returning after Darshan, we were passing by South Prasandhi with Yajur Mandir on the right side. And one of my son asked my wife, pointing to Yajur Mandir, is this where Swami lives? It looks like a palace. I wonder why Swami never comes out of his home. I too have a great desire to see Swami. Why doesn't he come out? It went like this. He was repeatedly asking why he never comes out, and he kind of sounded disappointed that he is unable to see Swami. He was just not asking, it was with some emotion. We were lost on, we still are in what to answer to him or such a question on when children ask where they can see Swami. To a child who is 4, who knows there is Swami, to whom all are praying to but want to see but he is unable to see, how do we explain this to him? We'll be grateful to get some guidance from you. Sai Ram, thanks a lot.
Alright then, that's an interesting question. It's a little different from the ones we've handled so far. Many people have come and asked us such questions, especially when we talk about Swami and narrate incidents from Swami's life. Many people come and ask us, what now? In fact, even when we speak to the students of the university now, there's this question of, you always had this inspiration of Swami's physical presence, but what is it for us now? It's very easy to explain to elders or youngsters who come and ask us, but answering 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds is a completely different ballgame, isn't it? So, let's pray to Swami. Let's hope that we can come up with an answer suitable for this question. Before suggesting what can be told to the children and how exactly you have to explain to the children, I'd have a couple of things to say to Mr. Rajesh Mohanan himself. As a parent, how do you look at this situation? Well, more than anything else, I think you should be happy that your child is asking you this question. I think you should consider it really as a blessing that your child is having a genuine curiosity of how to see Swami. And when you consider it a blessing, I think you will automatically see it as an opportunity, because, you know, not everybody has this genuine desire to see Swami, and definitely you should consider it as an opportunity to, you know, set your child on this quest quite early in life. So that's one thing I'd like to tell you. See, when Swami was physically with us, definitely it was easy to have Swami's darshan. We could, you know, get onto a bus, we'd take a cab or jump into a flight and come and have Swami's darshan. But all through, even when we were seeing Swami physically, I think we had to acknowledge, and it's a fact, that we were all along in a spiritual journey where we were turning inwards to find the divinity within, or if you'd like to put it that way, to find the Swami in our heart. Seeing Swami physically, or the ability to have Swami's darshan or interact with him, was not something which was going to replace this quest that we all have to go into. So it's very heartening that your children at the age of 4 or 5 are thinking of this and asking genuinely, you know, how do I see Swami? Many times Swami would say this, that if you want to achieve anything, be it any ambition, spiritual or worldly or whatever it is, you know, you need 3 qualities, the 3 P's of purity, patience and perseverance. But even before that, Swami says there are 2 other qualities which are even more rudimentary to one must cultivate to be able to achieve anything in life. And that is, Swami would say, the will to do, the will to achieve, or the interest, you know, as Swami would put it. And the other is the confidence that it can be achieved, I can do it. Putting it in this context, it's like that interest, or that if you really want to see Swami, if you really want to be able to see Swami in this changed circumstances, first of all, you should want it. You know, you should have that desire to achieve that. And that's why I'm saying that the children asking, you know, why am I not able to see Swami, is itself an indication that that is that desire, that is that interest. So I think as parents, first and foremost, your duty is, you know, seize this opportunity and try to foster it. And for that, as I said, the second thing what Swami was telling is the confidence. And that confidence has to be passed on from you. So more than anything else, when your child asks this question, answer confidently that yes, Swami can be seen even now. The methods have changed, the ways have changed, but be very confident in your answer that yes, if you wish, you can see Swami even now. And of course, the purity is something which the children always have, and, you know, that's the advantage. So there is this desire to see Swami, and if you can imbue the confidence in them that yes, if you try really hard, you can see Swami. So that's something which I would like to tell the parents of children who would ask such questions, and to, of course, Mr. Rajesh. Now, what do you really tell your children? I think, in my opinion, first of all, be honest with your child. Tell them how when you would come for darshan, Swami was actually still in a physical body. So we could come, we could see Swami's physical body, we could interact with Swami in a physical plane. But, you know, there is a difference between Swami and us. I mean, specific to the question that's being asked, you said that you visit your native in Kerala. I presume the children's grandparents stay there. How about explaining to them how, if they have to see their grandparents, either they have to go to Kerala, or let's say they come to Bangalore, and that's the only way the children can see their grandparents. But with Swami, it was a little different. You know, when we wanted to see Swami, we could come to Puttaparthi and see Swami, or if Swami is coming to Bangalore, we could see Swami. But apart from this way of seeing Swami, even when Swami was in the physical body, when any devotee prayed very, very sincerely, Swami would really appear in their homes. You know, even if it was in some far-off country like the US or Russia, Swami can do this because there is something special about Swami. And that is why it doesn't really matter whether Swami is in the physical body or not in the physical body. If you could explain this to the child, because, you know, without being honest, you can't explain this. Without explaining to the children that everybody, after a point in time, will have to discard their physical frame. I hope you get the idea of what I'm saying. That be honest with your child. At the same time, drive home the lesson how Swami is different from any of us. How Swami is different from any other person whom we would wish to go and see. So first and foremost, I think you should give them this confidence that yes, you can ask and, you know, Swami will come. That is one thing to start off with. If possible, if you could share a few stories of how Swami has responded to devotees' calls, I think that would be really beautiful. In fact, there are so many stories where little children have called and Swami has responded. I remember one narrated to me by one of my professors at college. He narrated how when he was living in Hyderabad, Swami was visiting a devotee's house, which was a couple of lanes away from his house. But Swami had told the devotees that, you know, make it a very small gathering, don't invite everybody. So his father, this professor was a 7-year-old then, his father decided to go to have Swami's darshan, but he left the children back home because Swami didn't want a crowd there. So this 7-year-old boy, he was so very sad that he was not able to see Swami, even though Swami was just in the neighborhood. So he went into the puja room and he locked up the door and he started crying. He said, Swami, this is unfair. You've come all the way to Hyderabad. You don't come home and you come to a home which is a couple of lanes away and I don't get to come and see you. This is so very unfair. And imagine a 7-year-old boy with that purity and with that real desire and interest of seeing Swami. He's sitting in that locked puja room and crying. And he says that Swami materialized physically in front of his eyes there. And that's one of his earliest experiences. And he was saying that, you know, when you have an experience like this, when you're so young, I mean, it's so very strongly imprinted in your mind that you pray and Swami will come. So if you could tell your children such stories and give them the confidence that, yes, if you pray with purity and if you really pray with perseverance, Swami will come. In fact, probably in this point, I'd like to narrate something which happened quite recently at Radio Sai. Last year, we were running the Children's Hour program and as part of that program, we would often play a chinnakatha of Swami. We would have a story time in which we would have a chinnakatha or any interesting inspirational story which children could relate to. We were telling about this chinnakatha of Swami where there would be this mother who was bringing up a single child and this child had to go to school, and to go to school he had to cross through a forested area and he was really scared to go through that place. So he comes home crying one day and he says, I don't want to go to school because I'm scared of this jungle. And the mother tells him, don't worry, you know, you have an elder brother who lives in the forest. You call out to him and he will accompany you across this forest. And his mother was actually referring to Lord Krishna. And the mother tells this little boy that you can call out to your elder brother Krishna and he will come. You know, the mother says it with so much confidence and so much of authority that the child really believes it. And the child really believes that there is this elder brother who is living in this forest. And he goes into the forest one day and he's scared. He calls out to Krishna and Krishna does come in the form of a little boy. And after that, this beautiful relationship between this little kid and Lord Krishna starts. That's a story. It's a very famous chinnakatha. So we had this story read out in that, as part of that program. You know, a couple of weeks later, a little boy, again a 7-year-old from the United States, he writes to us and he said, you know what, I loved that story that you told on the program. I really liked it, but I have a few doubts. Right? And he says, point number one, there is no forest around my house. You know, where do I go out and call out to the Lord? And he said, point number two, I don't go by walk to my school. I have a bus which comes and picks me up. Can I still call out to Lord Krishna? And he said, the third point is, I'm not a single child. I have an elder brother. In fact, my elder brother bullies me. Can I still call Lord Krishna and will he come and, you know, stand by me? And we were completely at a loss of words. How do you explain this to a 7-year-old kid? And these are questions which are really coming out of a genuine desire to know. And he's really taken this seriously. And again, you know, you're in a spot. You don't want to discourage the child from asking such questions and really seeking. At the same time, you know, you can't answer logically to a child like this. So when me and my colleague and brother Ganesh, you know, we were sitting and discussing this, we were wondering what can we answer to this little child who's asking a question out of such purity. And, you know, we literally threw up our hands and we said, Swami, only you can go and answer this kid. You know, there is no way we can give a convincing answer to this child. Of course, we did make an attempt to give an answer to this boy, but it was a very lame attempt, I should say. And a couple of months later, we again get a mail from this kid and he was saying that I had come to India for my vacation and, you know, something very, very beautiful happened. And this boy has this wonderful story to narrate. Apparently, Swami had come in his dream one day, and he was so happy and excited to see Swami, and he said, oh, Swami, you've come to see me. And Swami tells him in his dream, hey, I have actually come to answer your questions. And this boy is really surprised, and he looks at Swami and says, Swami, how do you know? the questions that I'd asked. I'd in fact asked the brothers at Radio Sai. And Swami said, yeah, I know you asked them. But you know, those boys, they're not able to answer your questions. So they told me that, Swami, you should go and answer this boy. So I have come to answer your questions. And apparently Swami answered all of the questions that he had posed us. Well, unfortunately for us, he has not yet shared with us what were those answers that I could really share with you. That would have been a beautiful thing to, especially in the context of the question that you've asked, Mr. Rajesh. But the beauty is, where is that opportunity over? That opportunity is still there, and especially when children ask us, because I think we're going to face this question, you know, much, much more now from the next generation. I think as parents, as elders, when such questions come to us, say with complete confidence that yes, if you call Swami, Swami is always there to come. But you just have to call with purity, and you should have the confidence that one day Swami will come. And as I said, you know, patience is there. It's given for children of that age. But I think as they grow up, they will learn the perseverance and the patience that needs to go with it. The other point which I thought, you know, when an opportunity like this comes, I think it's a good chance for you to inculcate some very good qualities in the children. Tell them that definitely when you call, Swami will come, but you need to prepare yourself, or you need to please Swami for Swami to answer your prayers. You know, you can teach them that Swami will definitely show himself when you start doing things that Swami likes and you start avoiding things that Swami dislikes. You can probably tell them that, you know, Swami likes children to be good and obedient. Tell them that Swami doesn't like children to fight. They should always be helpful to the others around in school, at home. And they should speak lovingly and they should speak respectfully to elders. I think some of these things can be taught to children, and you're not saying something which is untrue. Definitely, this is something which will take children closer to Swami. So on one hand, you're giving them the confidence that yes, if you call, Swami will come. Swami will show him even now. It's just that it's not in that physical darshan that we all enjoyed. But definitely Swami has always been going out to devotees who have called him. And so if you call, he will come. But, you know, these are things which Swami likes. These are things which Swami dislikes. And if you start doing things which Swami likes, and if you start avoiding things that Swami dislikes, you are going to bring Swami closer to you. And one day when you call, definitely Swami will come. So I think in conclusion, I would only say that as parents, see this as an opportunity to instill that confidence and encourage that devotion, you know, in the hearts of your children. Devotion, I should say this, is clearly a heart-to-heart between each individual and God. There's no doubt about that. But at a very tender age, if we are able to give children the right inputs, even if not immediately, I think at the right time, you will see these feelings surface as the children grow up. So first and foremost, as parents, you be absolutely confident. You know, that's more important. Before what you tell the children, you be absolutely confident that yes, Swami can be seen even now if you make the effort. If you can sit them down and tell them experiences of devotees, probably even from the epics, you can tell them stories like, you know, that of Prahlada and Dhruva, where little children prayed and they did get the darshan of Swami and how they could see God. So that opportunity to see God is always there. It doesn't depend on Swami being physically here or not. And then finally, use it as an opportunity to instill some nobility and noble qualities and good thoughts in children. That would be the answer that I'd like to give Mr. Rajesh Mohan. And thank you for asking us this question. I think it's a very, very beautiful question. I'm sure that a lot of parents also have this question in their mind. And last words, do believe that Swami will come when you call. I think it's an experience. Sitting here at Radio Sai, we are hearing constantly, and there is no doubt in our minds that if we call, Swami will come. Of course, the time frame, it's in Swami's hand, and the ability to call him, I think, is given to each devotee. It's only up to us to believe in it and to do what it takes. So once again, thank you, Mr. Rajesh Mohan. Do hope this answer has given you some points to think about and to act on. If you have more questions, of course, you can write to me again at prem@radiosai.org. So that, dear listeners, was Mr. Rajesh asking his question from Bangalore. The next question is going to be from a listener from I don't know from where he is, but his name is Mr. Anil. So we'll listen to the question first and then see what answer we can give.
Sai Ram. My name is Anil. I am working as a school teacher. Actually, I want to make the children to learn Bhagavad Gita and to face the different problems which are being faced in their daily life. But I don't know how I want to say Bhagavad Gita and how I can inculcate Bhagavad Gita in their daily life. What is the actual message of Swami regarding this Bhagavad Gita, and which book I can follow to learn more and more about Bhagavad Gita? Please answer my question. Thank you, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, Mr. Anil, first of all, appreciate you for that thought of wanting to teach the Gita to your students. I think nothing will prepare children for life better than the lessons in the Gita. I would like to make 3 points in response to this specific question that you asked. Firstly, what is the message of the Gita according to Swami? Well, Swami explains it in a very beautiful manner. Swami says, take the first word or the first verse of the Gita. The first verse goes, Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre Samaveta Yuyutsava. So the first word is Dharma. Then Swami says, take the last word of the last verse. And the last verse is, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Danuldhara Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Netir Matir Mama. So the last word is Mama. So Swami says, the essence of the Gita is got by combining these two words, that is Mama Dharma, meaning my duty. The essence is that we have to inquire what is our duty at each moment in life and how to perform our duty to perfection. So the Gita teaches what is the mental state we must maintain to be able to do our duty best. What we should do to maintain that mental state, and things like, in what way devotion to God helps in this, what role does understanding the nature of life play in it, and how to develop qualities like detachment and sacrifice. And that is why I said there is no better way to prepare our children for the future than teaching them the Gita. So when you read and teach Gita, approach it with the idea that it is for day-to-day life and for everyone, not just for devotees or, say, sannyasis. I think to explain what else the Gita is about, it's a little difficult to explain now, so I think as and when the questions pertaining to Gita comes, we will take it up on this show. In fact, I've already received one question. We will handle it in the coming episodes. The second thing, which book to follow? Honestly, I've not read many books on the Gita. I've not read the entire Gita also till now, though I'm trying to. But one of the books I have read, and I've read a few times, is Swami's Gita Vahini. And in my opinion, we don't need to look for any other book. If you have interest, of course you can. But I think it's a good idea to keep Gita Vahini as the base literature, or, you know, the fundamental source. Because I've read parts of many books which are, basically commentaries on the Gita, and you will see that each author has a way of explaining the Gita from their philosophical point of view. If you take Adi Shankara, he'll explain it from a Dvaitic point of view. Madhvacharya from purely Dvaita point of view. Ramanujacharya, of course, from Vishishtadvaita. Or if you read, say, books of devotees of Krishna, they will always explain as though the only devotion to the form of Krishna will liberate. For that matter, those who look at it from duty point of view also will tend to belittle the importance of, say, concepts such as devotion. So what is the true flavor of Gita? I think only Swami, who we all believe is the same Krishna, can explain it absolutely accurately. That's why for me, Gita Vahini will give us the best overall idea, the most balanced and accurate view. After that, if you wish to read the Gita verse by verse and understand the meaning, I think you will understand the flow better. Of course, this is purely my opinion. And the last thing I wanted to say is, how can we teach the Gita? Well, in this context, you know, Swami tells one very nice chinakatha, and I would like to recall it here. In fact, this is a katha which Swami mentions even the Gita Vahini. You know, there was this pandit who used to go to the palace of the king and explain the Gita. And the king would reward him with some money. So one day he was explaining the verse, which we've heard so many times from Swami, the Ananya Chintayantoma Ye Jana Pariupasate Tesham Nitya Bhiktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamyam. And the meaning, of course, is, whoever thinks of me constantly, I will take complete care of his welfare. You know, this is the promise that Krishna gives in this verse. So when this scholar was explaining, the king shook his head and said, no, the meaning is wrong. So the scholar was really surprised. He started explaining it from different angles. Still, the king was not satisfied. You know, then he started explaining word by word. And the king kept shaking his head, and you know, this pundit started sweating because he didn't know what to do. Finally, the king gets up and tells the scholar, "You go home, think about it, and you come back tomorrow with the correct explanation." So this fellow goes home, absolutely crestfallen. The wife comes and asks, "What happened? Why are you looking so dull?" Then he explains what happened in the court. The wife then tells him, "Actually, you know, the king was correct. You did not explain properly." And that's it. This fellow goes wild and he starts saying, "How dare you teach me? How dare you do you think that you know better than me? I am the scholar," and so on. And you know, the wife tells him, "You first calm down and you think for yourself." So this pundit sits down and starts repeating the verse to himself word by word, trying to understand, you know, what's the meaning. Then the wife asks him, "Okay, you tell me, why do you go to the king and explain the Gita for you?" And the scholar replies that it's of course for you and the children. You know, for what else will I go? I have to run this family. And you know, he's fuming with the answer. So then the wife explains that, see, when explaining the verse, you say that Krishna will take care of everything. But then you go and stretch your hands before the king for your needs. How can one who has not understood and started practicing this explain correctly to another person the meaning of this verse? You know, then the pundit realizes the mistake that he has been doing. So the next day he does not go to the court. He sits in his altar and is, you know, thinking of Krishna and doing Namasmarana. Then the people from the king's court, they start coming. And when they come to him, he says that, "I don't need to seek from anyone else. You know, my Krishna will give me what I need." So when the king comes to know of this, Swami says that the king is so impressed that he comes walking all the way to the scholar's house, falls at his feet and says, "Now you are capable and you are ready to explain to me the meaning." Now, what a beautiful lesson this is, isn't it? So even as you try to teach the children, Brother Anil, I think you should more importantly try and practice the Gita yourself. I'm sure if you have thought of teaching it to your children, you do want to practice it also. I'm mentioning this only because I thought the answer would not be complete without mentioning this point. As Swami had told Professor Nanjundia, the former controller of examination, once in a letter, he said, "The best method of spreading Vedanta philosophy is to live it. There is no other royal road. Live in God, all is right. Make others live in God, all shall be well." And Swami would say that the essence of Vedanta is the Gita. So Brother Anil, my best wishes to you. It is indeed a very, very noble idea to teach Gita and its lessons to younger children. So dear listeners, I think with that I'm actually coming to the end of this week's program. And in a short while from now, you'll be joined by Brother Ganesh and Raghu for the next episode of today's Thursday Live. That is a discussion on the flowers that we must offer to God. I'm going now, but I'll be back in about an hour's time with Arvind for the afternoon satsang. So till then, it's goodbye from me. And next week at 11 o'clock, I'll again join you with one or two more questions in the Radio Sai answering booth.
Devotion to Thee.